As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's do it.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
And you come out, it's not your night, you know. It's cool, it happens. But there's a way that I'm willing to lose, and that's not the way that I'm willing to lose.
It is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. with the Wizards are reeling. I don't know what this means, but they're playing not good right now. In the Bay, the best team in basketball, of course. Again,
second.
The Golden second? Wait a minute. Why the second, Marcus Thompson?
Phoenix Suns. I mean, beating them without Booker, come on.
It's just... It doesn't count.
It's not the same.
Right? It doesn't count. Okay. All right. That's fair.
Not the same.
Well, wait a minute. You know, by that token, then Toronto's championship doesn't count.
I mean, I didn't say that.
Oh, man.
Of course, the Warriors will say, but we didn't have Clay.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. So I think
the Warriors will be the best team in basketball when Clay arrives.
Okay. All right.
But you know, let's give Phoenix their time while this runs.
No. Phoenix is playing great.
Western Conference champions.
Yes, they are. We got a good guest this week. Very happy he was able to join us because it's all about the Portland Trailblazers in the NBA right now.
Well, hold on. Before we get to the Trailblazers.
Until Indy said they're going to put everybody on the block today.
I know, right? Forget. Hold on with the Trailblazers.
What are you going to say? Forget
pause
quick.
With the Trailblazers. Because
all right,
we got to talk
cool.
about your sudden this shade for your Washington Wizards as yeah. if
what
lulls aren't part of the season. How are you down on a team?
Not because they've been playing like booty for like 2 weeks now. No, it's been they've been bad, man.
It's just a rough stretch.
Yeah,
they are the fifth seed in the East. They are.
Let me remind you. The last team this franchise won 50 games this season. Take a wild guess.
Gilbert Nim. Anton Nim. All right. Oh no! I know.
Okay.
It was No. Come on. It's on the tip of my tongue.
You mean the Chris Webber teams? Is that what you're talking about?
50 wins?
Nah. Yeah, 50 wins in the regular season.
You got it. I'm going with 50 is a lot of wins, yo.
Okay, but 50,
I'm going with Dick Mata back in the day.
That is exactly right. It's been 40 years since they won 50 games. 1979.
Scott Brooks and them didn't they win 50?
Won 48 one year. That was the closest.
Okay, got you. Right.
So when you ain't won 50 games in 40 years, 40 in four decades, when I was a teenager the last time I won 50 games in a season, then you can't just blindly give away 2 weeks of the season, as they have done now.
Yeah, but they don't have to win 50 to be good.
All right. Let's get Quick in here because he's waiting patiently. Jason
hey, Quick. Jason Quick. My man. Question for you. Pop quiz for Jason Quick as soon as you come on.
Because I know the Blazers won 50 games recently.
Who's the lead scorer for the 78-79 Washington Bullets that won 54 games, the last team to win 50 games? Who was the lead scorer for that squad?
You're asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
Quick was like four when that happened.
No, I was nine.
You were nine. Okay, you're a little older than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But I was not following the NBA at that point.
You weren't following. I bet you DA knows this.
It's Elvin better. Hayes. Come on, let's move on.
If it matters at all, Jason, I would have guessed Wes Unseld. It would have been completely
Wes
wrong.
Wes wasn't the score. Nah, Elvin Hayes. Elvin Hayes is criminally underrated. When he retired, he was the third leading scorer in the history of this league. He was number three. So he does not get any recognition at all for being – he was elite level scorer, like 27, 28 every year, just pencil him in. He was great. Great scorer. Now, you know, had his ups and downs with other things, but he could score the ball now. Anyway, Quick does not want to talk about that. I want to talk to Quick about his immolating Portland Trail Blazers team, where it's just falling apart and just
where 50 win seasons don't matter, huh?
Exactly. They win 50 and they're like, yeah, we're supposed to win 50. We're a good team. That's what most good teams say. But Jason, dude, I mean, I'm not saying I'm shocked they fired Neil O'Shea last week. I mean, it was certainly everybody kind of figured it was going to go that way once they said they were going to investigate. But it's an especially tough time to have an interim GM in and be searching for a new one when, boy, oh boy, the clock is ticking on Dame. It's ticking on CJ. You didn't read Quick story. You got a one-on-one with CJ McCollum. And basically CJ was like, you know, he didn't say it, but the inference was, yeah, it's been great here. I've really enjoyed my time. He seems to know the clock is ticking.
Yeah, I think generally, you know, that is the feeling in Portland that an era has passed us. You know, first with Stotts leaving, then the president leaving, Chris McGowan, Olshay being fired. And the roster is not built for the way that Chauncey Billups wants to coach.
Yeah.
You know, and it's evident. We can see it on the court. You know, the defense has gotten worse. We didn't think this defense was getting worse than it has been the last couple of years, but it has. They gave up 145 to the Celtics.
Peyton Pritchard was clowning them at the end of the game. Is that right?
Yeah. Hit three straight three-pointers and then had a possession where he took three more in the final seconds. And it was so bad that Dame jumped off the bench and was like yelling to his across the court to his teammates, say, hey, foul him, do something.
Yeah,
you know, we can't allow this to happen.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, so it has unraveled quickly and spectacularly, really. And it's one of those things where – when you see it, you know it, that it's over, right? Mm, I mean, people in Portland remember when it was time for Nate McMillan to be fired. You know, the team had totally given up on him there. I think there was three straight games where they lost by 30, and you could just feel it, and you could see it. It was obvious to everyone, and it's that same feeling right now with these Blazers that the time has come to break this up, and I think to break it up significantly. I don't think they're going to just tinker around the edges. I think we're talking about major pieces being moved out of here.
What has happened? Two guys in particular that really I thought were going to be very helpful to them. Nurkic being back and being healthy, I thought, and Robert Covington, which I thought was a great pickup last year. And neither one of them seemed to be impacting their winning at all. What's going on there?
Nurk has been better of late. I mean, he had 31 last night. Yeah. I think initially for him, they're asking a lot of him because of the way they're finally playing an aggressive style defense where he comes up and defends the pick and roll. And so he wasn't quite in shape. I don't think good enough shape to be effective. He was tiring a lot early in the season, getting in foul trouble, and he just hasn't progressed. I don't know if his leg – you know, the bad broken leg he had a couple of years ago. I don't know if he's doesn't have the lift or something, but he doesn't finish well around the rim. So that has been a struggle. And Covington, you know, I just think he's old. I think his knees are creaky and he just hasn't been sharp. He has moments still, but he loses focus probably more than anybody else on the team defensively. And they need him to be like a stopper. They, you know, they invested in him to be their stopper. They gave up 2 first-round picks for him. And that has looked to be a bad deal in retrospect. But and then also I think, you know, when Neil Olshey came into this season and touted this as the most talented and deepest roster he's built around Lillard, he was counting on Lillard and McCollum to play up to their level, if not better. Yeah. But both of them are having below average seasons. Dame in particular with his shooting percentages, and CJ's got career lows all across the board, except for 3-point range. So that has hurt them. And then now they have injuries. So it's just been a perfect storm. And it's kind of blowing up in spectacular fashion because while all this is happening, they're all trying to get used to Chauncey and his style. And Chauncey's much more kind of in their face, critiquing, demanding more disciplined play than Terry Stotts was. And I think that is really hard when, you know, especially for guys like Dame and CJ, who for almost a decade have played pretty much with no leash, you know, been able to do whatever they want and not really get called out on it. And just kind of had the trust that everything will work out right, that their offense will overcome their defense. But now there's a little bit more, you know, they're being reined in a little bit more, being taken to task a little bit more. And I think that's worn on them and other guys from a mental standpoint.
So what do they do about this? For many people, like, this is long overdue anyway.
Right.
Especially considering what they have to go up against in the West year after year after year.
Yep.
Everybody keeps loading up and they keep running it back. And it seems like now they've got this awakening or this realization when it's almost too late, right? Where now everybody knows they're at this point. So it almost like kind of lowers the value. What can they possibly do to, you know, renovate this roster well enough?
Well, they got to explore what they can get with their assets. You know, what is the market for CJ McCollum? I think they're going to look at, what is the market for Damian Lillard right now? You know, he's 31. He's starting to be more and more affected by injuries. You know, he's starting to show some wear on the tires. Can they get something for Nurkic? Can they get something for Covington? And I think they need to get more athletic, get longer, get switchable guys. Those are the type of guys that Chauncey Billups wants to build his defense around. And obviously it's easier said than done, but I think more than anything, they need to get more athletic. This is probably one of the least athletic teams in the NBA. And they're probably one of the few teams that, you know, don't have a center that you can lob to and dunk. You know, their most athletic guy is probably Nasir Little. And, you know, you could probably throw in Anthony Simons in there too. But they're two kind of role players, guys who come off the bench. They need to get bigger, longer, more athletic. And I think they have some assets. It's probably not as much as the league probably doesn't value them as much as the Blazers do. But I think this is the time where you have to try to get something for CJ, see what Dame could get you. And then you consider, you know, are we going to really do this with, I think Dame is the greatest player in franchise history. I think better than Clyde Drexler because of the full package of what he's meant to the community and to the culture of the team. And so that's a big decision that they're going to have to make. And a decision that, you know, from a selling ticket standpoint, you know, the Rose Garden, the Moda Center, I guess it's called now,
is not full this year.
Yeah, it's not full.
That stuns me.
It wasn't full on opening night.
Wow.
And that was really jarring. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with COVID and all that. But, you know, this is a business. And they're going to have to consider, you know, can we sell tickets without Damian Lillard on our roster?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got a lot of big questions. And Joe Cronin's going to have to start tackling those.
All right. So, you know, I think a lot of people around the league know Joe Cronin, but maybe people listening to the podcast don't really know his background, his cap guy. Let's go bigger picture than Joe. If you have ever tried to cover the Blazers in any meaningful way the last decade and a half, you understand who the Vulcans are. But again, I think people who aren't immersed in this every day don't understand the kind of unique structure that they have in terms of ownership and with the Allen family owning it. Now, Jody Allen, the sister of Paul Allen, late Paul Allen, owns the team. And just kind of how different that is, Jason, than what other teams with regular kind of ownership situations have. Can you just kind of break it down? And because this explains to me, this may explain to people why it's not as easy as you think to trade a player like Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the biggest thing that people should know is that, you know, Jody Allen and Bert Cold, who's the kind of vice chair of the franchise, they live in Seattle, which is a 2.5-3 hour drive north of Portland. Now, to Jody's credit, she has been in attendance at every Blazers home game, but she's certainly not as hands-on as her brother, Paul, was. Paul was involved he wanted summer league practice video sent to him. He wanted draft clips of prospects. He was really hands-on, almost to the point where it was annoying. She is really hands-off. But I think, you know, the bigger question to kind of step back one step even further is there's a lot of talk and a lot of speculation that she might be getting ready to sell, you know, and that's been kind of the hanging over this franchise since Paul passed away in 2018. I don't have a great sense for that just because Jody Allen never once has talk publicly about her vision or what she intends to do, how closely she values keeping this franchise in the family. You know, this was one of Paul's passion products.
Right.
Products. And so initially she told me when she took over that she wanted to kind of fulfill and honor his passion project. So how long she holds on to that, I don't know. But I think that's something that we might get an inkling into how they handle the GM hiring. Do they just allow Joe on an interim basis to finish out this season and then sell the team? Or, you know, I think if they do hire a GM and give him a 5-year contract, that's shown a little bit more commitment, you know? Yeah. It's an odd dynamic right now. I think everyone is unsure, I think, of how it's going to play out. But, you know, it's funny when you talk about the ownership. When Paul was running the team, there were kind of murmurs and criticisms that he was too hands-on.
Sure.
And now with Jody, she's not hands-on enough. She's kind of a little bit of a distant owner, allowing those decision makers to do their job. And there's probably a middle ground in there that's the sweet spot. But right now they don't have that. And I think there's questions of how just into it she is.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Do we know what this means at all for Chauncey, who's, you know, in his first year as a coach, the general manager who hired him at a bit of, you know, peril for the decision? Like, a new GM come in, is Chauncey secure? Like, or is this, could this be a short-term thing? Which is interesting if they do decide to blow it all up. And the guy who has this way to play that kind of wants to play it a certain way that makes it untenable ends up not being there. So what does this all mean for Chauncey? Yeah.
I've been told right now that he's safe and that they're very committed to him and that they believe in him. And from a reporting standpoint and just watching how he conducts his business and his vision, listening to his vision, I'm on board with Chauncey as well. I think he's really impressive. He hasn't got the results yet, but I think he, like I said earlier, I think there's a big gap in the type of players the Blazers have and the type of players he needs to run his system. You know, now you can also make the argument that a coach's job is to make the best of what his roster has, and he's probably not maximizing that right now. But to answer your question, Marcus, I've been told he's safe and that they are still high on him and committed to him.
Yeah, I mean, nothing surprises you in this league, but boy, they went to a great...
He's safe, but they might get a new GM and new owner.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they didn't hire him. You know what I mean? Like, so you know how this league works, and it's just not to me. I want to ask you this, and this may be really dumb, and if it's really dumb, just say so, Jason. Does anybody ever ask Phil Knight if he wants to buy them, if he wants to buy the Blazers? Does that ever come up? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I've been told that he hasn't entertained it, but I've never asked him. Phil's kind of a hard guy to get to.
Right. Sure.
But no, yeah, I haven't asked him.
I mean, they're
a great recruiting ploy, right? It'd be great free agency. Like,
it just seems like an obvious ask of the behemoth that's like 3 miles down the street. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And certainly loves basketball and certainly has, you know, any number of ways to kind of break the mold of difficulties that they've had in years past recruiting free agents there, you know, which is a difference making free agents there. You know, if Nike can't do it, then nobody can do it. Right. I mean, that's how I would think about it. So,
Making your own custom line of,
you know what I mean? Like, you can literally do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
Well, it was just a crazy random thought, I'm sure. But tell me, like, I think everybody wants to read the Lillard tea leaves all the time, every day. It's like, he's like the Politburo now. Like, what is the state of Damian today? I know he's like Beal. He's not going to say it. He's never going to say it. I get it. If he wants out, he's never going to say it. How do you kind of, if you're them, kind of get a feel for where this is going with him? Because, you know, he's just not the type of guy that is going to say, I have given up on this franchise. He just can't do it, you know, and credit to him. I actually admire that in him and in Beal also, that they won't walk away when it would be convenient for them to do so. But then how do you kind of judge whether it's time to make the move or not?
Yeah, I don't know, David. I think that's the big question. And that's the crossroads we've all reached, and what the franchise is probably huddling and trying to figure out right now. And I'm sure Joe will have, you know, meetings with Dame and try to get a feel on what's going on. But I think also they have to look at the organization first, before Dame. Obviously they should consider what Dame is thinking and think about it, but their number one priority should be the Portland Trailblazers. And I think that gets lost. I think there's a lot of politicking and, you know, the way this business works now with agents and all that, having their say and shaping narratives and leaking stuff. The team and the organization should be number one ahead of one person and one player, no matter how great and no matter how wonderful Dame is and how much he's given to this community and to this franchise. You know, it's like whatever they say in the NFL, you know, you're not bigger than the shield. You're not bigger than the organization. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and that, he deserves this. They should do all that. They're paying him very handsomly. Let's not forget that too, you know?
Right.
So I don't know if I answered your question, but you know, I think they will consider, obviously they want to hear and get his input and hear what he has to say. But I think in the big picture, they have to worry about the pinwheel and the Blazers organization moving forward.
What's best
for them.
The problem, Jason, and you know, we kind of in a different sense, we saw this with Golden State. The problem is when you end up drafting like this Hall of Fame talent, and after how many years he's been in the league, essentially failed to put. I hate to say that. I mean, they made the Western Conference Finals, and people act like that's nothing. Like that's it's a really good franchise. You had some really good years, but if the title is the goal, if you get a Hall of Famer from the number six pick, basically on a fluke, and you can't turn that into a championship, it feels like it's harder to do it starting from scratch when you don't have the Hall of Famer in your midst, right? Like if you think somebody can build a champion, it's if you got the core player. So to get rid of the core player and essentially start from scratch and hope to find another one feels like a more difficult task.
Not if you're going to extend him and be paying him $50 million for 2 years when he's 36 and then, you know, he's breaking down and then where are you? Then you're really starting over. You're not getting any assets for him.
Yeah, that's the price pay.
They have to consider right now. What direction do they want to go? I think they're at that breaking point right now.
But so my question is there a feasible route to where you keep your franchise core and build around them in a better way and maybe a less way that's relying on him to be so great? To me, the Ben Simmons thing was always obvious. It was right there. He's 25 years old. He's the athlete. You know, he does a lot of the things that they need. It feels like there is a saving grace without starting over. Is there a feasible route?
But Morey doesn't want CJ. That's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, basically.
The guy he wants Dame. That's what
make
he wants,
him want.
Right?
Make him want CJ. You know?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's going to be interesting to see if they do decide to trade CJ, you know, what is his market? I don't have a great feel for that. How much he's valued around the league. And that's a big question, because if you can get a nice, you know, small forward, power forward, some picks or a youngster, then I think you do that. And you could probably turn this into, four, five, or six seed in the West, maybe. I don't know.
Again.
Again, yeah.
I mean, but to your point, though, that what they don't sneeze at being a 4, 5, or 6. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's not. I mean, that's not bad. You know.
I mean, they were in a Western Conference Finals, a perennial top 4 seed in the era of a dynasty. Like right. That's not yeah. nothing.
They were pretty good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Back to back 3 seeds.
Right.
Yeah. That's not so, nothing, yeah. man.
I just don't think I don't see a way that you get Lillard and Simmons on the same team. I don't know how you do it. Maybe there's a way. I don't see it.
The problem is Seth Curry.
Well,
he's
yeah.
basically eliminated the need right. for CJ.
I mean, you'd have to reroute McCollum somewhere else. It would have yeah. to be a 3-team deal. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing this. I don't, not based on any report or anything, but would a guy like a Sabonis move the needle? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either.
For McCollum, I don't know. And, you know, I agree with you, Marcus. I think Simmons would be perfect for them if they could get him. I just don't know how you get him. unless you give him Lillard, which, and then at that point, what's the point of making a deal? You know what I mean? Like, unless you are blowing it all up and you're just going to start over and
you get Adam Silver to intervene and demand. Well, yeah. You know what's interesting, Jason? I'd be curious of your take since you're like the master. Who's the keepable on the roster? Who's the all right? If we're gonna rebuild this thing, here are the untouchables. Do the Blazers have any?
No.
I was hoping you would say Anthony. Anthony Simons has
Shown promise. Nasir Little shown promise, but I don't think either of them are good enough to say they're untouchable.
Right.
I think right now the roster it's free game, open season. I really do. I think they're to that point where they have to consider
that's
all options.
Tough. That's the thing, like, yo, you can have whatever you want, yo. Nobody's off limits. Yeah.
What do you think the city's reaction would be if they traded Lillard? For whatever it was, it didn't matter who it was.
I think the casuals would be crushed and they would, you know, be hurt by seeing him go. But I think like the diehard cap heads who look 2 or 3 years down the road would understand it, depending, of course, on what the haul was, on what you yeah. got for him.
And where he goes, right?
Yeah, and probably where he goes too. And I think I could say this confidently that everyone in Portland, if Dame is traded, they would want him to go to a place where he could win a title. Like right. whatever that team is, that is the team that all of Portland will root for. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. he has such a connection to the people here. People love him so deeply. And it would make them so happy to see him win a title. But yeah, it would be that would be a tough day in Portland, seeing Dame go. I don't know if I've been around a figure in the state who is so beloved and beloved so deeply. It would really sting for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
you
that's
know
what
who it reminds me of? DA, you know who I think about when I think about the day that Damian Lillard leaves Portland? It would remind me of the departure of Bonzi Wells. Remember when he left? You were,
Jesus.
Jason was like, hold on. I want to hear this.
That's exactly what it would be like. Yeah. It gets back to who has the for lack of a, well, I'm trying not to curse. Who has the guts of the people that are now running the organization? Who has the guts to green light trading Damian Lillard? You know, like, I mean, that's why I think it's like, it's gotta be whoever you hire to be the next GM. You have to say you are green lighted to trade Damian Lillard, and they have to know that going in because they're going to be, you know, just vilified for doing it, but they have to know that they can do it, right? I mean, otherwise, why would you take that? Why would you take that job? Because it's a going nowhere job. Yeah. You only take that job to tear it down and start over. That's the only reason you take the job.
Yeah. I agree.
So
I don't know. It's tricky. I do think though, you know, to your earlier question, I think their first option is to see if they can make an impact move with the people they have and still build around Dame and still structure it around Dame. That's your first, you know, option.
Yeah.
You know, actually their first order of business probably is getting under the tax line. You know, you can't be
it's this bad a
team and be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is probably priority number one. Then you kind of look at, can we still be put pieces around Dame to be a contender? Right. And then if you don't feel like you can get that, then I think you go to your last option, which is to see what you can get for Dame. I don't think it's at the top of their wish list right now to trade Dame. I hope I didn't come across that way.
No. I know that's you didn't.
I think that's their last option.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have to find out what you could get for him. I mean, I think that's just kind of like good practice for any organization, right? And you have to know what's out there for him.
Right.
I mean, again, not based on any reporting, but would someone like a Sabonis make sense for them? If, you know, for CJ, for example, you know, I know they have to make the numbers work. I mean, I understand I haven't gamed it all out, but so a all-star level player like a Sabonis is just bigger. You know what I mean? Like he's a legit four. You could legitimately play him at the four. Now the problem is, I don't know if he and Nurk play together well, because, you know, Sabonis is still a pretty good post-up guy. So I don't know that really works with Nurkic, but you know, someone like that level of player, would that make sense? Would that help them?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an option. I mean, I don't know. I guess I thought maybe CJ could get something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That might be a good comp, a good scenario. But yeah, the Blazers need that type of player. They could certainly use that. I don't think, look, Nurk's in the last year of his contract. I don't think he comes back. I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay.
I don't know what Sabonis's contract structure is, but if he could be kind of the guy who fills that center position for multiple years, then you look at that. I mean, they'll have Larry Nance under contract next year.
Right.
I think he's the starting power forward in waiting. I think he'll be their starting power forward next year if he stays. So yeah. And then you're talking about, you know, Lillard, Nance, Sabonis, Norm Powell at the two.
Right.
Powell. That's one reason why CJ's so, you know, expendable. They got Norm Powell, or they got Anthony Simons to move in there too. So
right.
But they need wing depth right now, I think. And you know, it's Caris LeVert. You know, is he available?
Yeah.
But is he good enough to more?
Well, when he's healthy, but that's the issue.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
Yeah. So all that stuff I'm not good at. That's what a GM gets paid for.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I think it's fascinating times right now for Portland. As ugly as all this is, appears right now, I think people can see that it's time. And then once you start embracing and thinking about what it can look like, then that's when you start getting excited again.
It's gonna be a
sentimental ride though too. You know, like CJ last night. You know, when he texted me that stuff about Oregon and got married here and gonna have a son here and bought a vineyard, like that hit me.
Right.
That really hit me. Like, damn, this has been an era, and we're damn near over.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through a lot of that, I think, with these guys. And it was a hell of a run for 10 years with Stotts and Olshay and Willard. Yeah. 8 straight playoffs. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
But I think Portland Trailblazer basketball is going to look a lot different this year and certainly next year.
The other thing about Olshay I wanted to ask you about is that, I mean, I know just reading you and reading some of the other people that cover the team, I know the fan base was, you know, thrilled and delighted, and I get that. I understand that. But what I wonder is, like, were you at all surprised that they did not kind of say anything about what was in whatever report they came up with, other than there was bad stuff going on and he had to pay? I mean, and they, you know, they're, yeah, they're under no obligation to release the report. I understand that. They don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I just wonder if you were surprised that they didn't.
Yes and no. You know, this organization hasn't been great about being transparent. It was the same thing with the
Didn't the Chauncey, he hit you with the trust me line? Yeah. Didn't he?
Yeah, you'll have to trust, take our word for it.
Right.
On the Chauncey investigation. And I think a lot of people wanted more transparency on just how much they vetted the Chauncey allegations from 21 years ago and what steps they took to come to their conclusion that he was the right guy. And they weren't very transparent in that. So, no, I wasn't surprised that they weren't transparent in what they found in the Neal investigation. And you know, obviously as reporters and as I think people in the public and paying customers always like transparency, you know, would like to know why decisions are being made. It's a little frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised because the same thing happened here with the football team. I mean, after a year of investigation, they literally didn't even produce a paper. They didn't even write a paper. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't release a document, there's got to be a document. You know what I mean? They didn't even write a document. So it's not surprising, but it, you know, it's always kind of odd when that's how it ends. You know, just kind of like, well, we found some bad stuff, but we're not going to really tell you what it was. You know?
it's odd.
But hey, that's super the way it odd, goes.
Right? Super. Yeah, right. You know what? I guess I kind of respect them just saying that though. Like instead of lying, instead of smearing, like, listen, man, we're not telling you.
Right.
I'm to that point where I'm like, I'm just glad you ain't giving me the runaround. I'm not as good a reporter as you two. So people, you know, you guys get the cold hard stuff and I get to run around. So Jason, I'm just happy they did like, yo, here's what really happened and it's all a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, that's true. Right. Well, I hope it gets, man, whatever the resolution is, man, I hope it's soon because Portland is one of my favorite places to go to for a lot of different reasons. But one of the biggest reasons that I've loved the fan base there for years. They are passionate. They fill that place up. It's loud in there, you know, and I have a real, you know, soft spot for the smaller markets that make a go of it. Like to your point, Jason, they got that thing rolling for a decade and they were relevant for a decade. Whatever you think of the ending, they were legitimately a relevant NBA team for a decade. And I just really hope it gets fixed, you know, in a way where they can be relevant again as soon as possible, because those fans have been great for a very long time.
And can I add to that real quick? Like, I just want to point out, Jason, look, I'm not as plugged in as you, obviously, but I just want to say they're 2 games out of the 5th seed and everything has gone completely wrong. And I don't think this year's done. I'm just saying Dame's been terrible. They've lost the GM. It's controversy after controversy. And they might actually make the playoffs. What do you say to one last run?
Let's do it.
I don't think you convinced him.
He's not convinced at all, right? He's like, come on, brother. I'm watching the bricks fall apart here.
Right, exactly. Oh, man.
But yeah, no. To your point, David, you know, you're right that Portland is a special place, I think, on the circuit. You know, as a reporter over the years, you know, I'm lucky enough to go to every arena in the league, and the environment isn't like it is in the Rose Garden in every arena. There's a handful of places that every night bring it, you know, Chicago, Detroit, Golden State, you know, Portland's in that cool group of fans that live and breathe by the team. And, I hope they resolve and set a course sooner rather than later, because when basketball is good in Portland, I think it's really good for the league.
Yeah, no question. And it's just,
and
it's
we
just
can't forget about beautiful. The Seattle element of this too, right? Like, you know, the they've already taken the Sonics from Pacific Northwest, right? So I do think there is a unique love of basketball in the Pacific Northwest, right? I do think there's a culture of it, and you can feel it when you're there. Like, it matters. Like, it's a part of the lore. It's just been that way. So there's just something about the Pacific Northwest, their level of basketball.
It's because it rains, and it's gym. It's being in indoor, a gym when it's just crap outside. It's part of our – that's how we get through the winter here.
Yeah,
is being in a gym and being, you know, united in that fashion.
And it's been that way forever, because going back to the, you know, the old days, the Drexler days, it was like that. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was like that with Herm Gilliam. You know what I'm saying? It was like
Herm Gilliam. Look at you, Marcus.
I went to college with his son, so I know I got all of Herm Gilliam. Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. I mean, it's been like that for a minute, and you know, I think about like the Brandon Roy teams. I mean, those were just, it was just fun going to Portland, man. They were fun, you know, like, and fun to watch, and the crowd was into it. And you just, and with all the bad luck they've had with injuries to the big men they've brought there, you just want them to catch a break. You know what I mean? Portland to catch a break, you know, like they could be fun, but
they
quick,
did.
I appreciate
it,
man.
Six pick in the 2012.
Yeah.
Well, they got, NBA okay,
draft,
but that's what I'm saying.
Like, East Oakland. That's great food city too, by the way.
Yes,
great food city.
This is one of my favorite cities. Portland's one of my favorite towns in the league. Always has been. And I just hope they can fix it.
You know what? Look, listeners need to know this. They buy us media off. Like, that's what they do. The Blazers are good at that. It's like wine and cheese and grapes and fruit after game. Like, it's like at a country club. You come from the locker room, you're ready to write, and there's this whole spread, and it's like they know how to treat us.
You know what it is? That's our PR staff. The Blazers have a great PR staff.
They do.
They always turn it up a notch against Golden State because Raymond Ritter, and they're always trying to one up Raymond, you know?
Yeah,
because
Raymond gives us candy.
That title.
Yeah. Right?
Raymond
yeah.
gives us candy.
Exactly.
Literally like, gives you candy to come cover the two games.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right, quick, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Safe travels, and, you know, it'll get better.
Get ready for the playoffs, baby. Yeah. Get ready for the playoffs.
Exactly.
It's coming. Watch this Damian Lillard turn up. Let's go.
Exactly. I ain't giving up on Dame yet.
Oh, man. All right, you guys be good.
You too, man. So, dude, I hope it works out for them. That's, you know, it's a great, great town, great basketball town. Yeah,
how do you trade Damian Lillard? I mean, they're gonna have to do it. Ooh, that's a tough one, boy. That is a tough one.
I mean, they traded Drexler, you know, and he had gotten the two finals, so they've done it before, but it's hard.
And they
it's hard.
There might be a universe where they have to, right? Like,
they're
selling low now. Like, they didn't do it when it was high. This is what happens when you sell low. So.
Exactly. All right, y'all. Well, hope you enjoyed that. We love talking, going deep dives on certain teams, and that's one of them in the news today. As always, enjoy us on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, if they don't leave the 5-star review, if it's not in their heart to leave 5 stars, what should they do?
They should see a therapist because they're... They are haters, and they need to deal with that. But most of them need to keep it to themselves.
Exactly.
We don't want to hear about your little 4-star, 3-star. We don't want to hear your complaints.
Just
go ahead
and
press the 5 stars. You know, support two black journalists doing their thing. And just keep it pushing. That's it. That's all we're
trying to make it in this world. And buy Marcus's book, Dynasties.
About 3 of them. What a great Christmas gift.
Christmas. It's a great Christmas gift. It's a fine, fine book. Bye.
Nah, that's something that you can't put in anybody, you know. You can skill development, you can make a guy better in this or that, or guy, girl, whatever. But that inside, that competitive fire, that pride, that's something you either have or you don't have, you know. And that's not something that you can turn off or turn on.